change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy to have Rishi Mogill on the line with me today. Rishi is the executive director of Green Light Fund in Detroit. How are you, Rishi?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on Snapcast.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do this. We've said Green Light Fund Detroit, but I'm a little confused by the name because it's not just Detroit. You have a much bigger footprint than that, right?
That's right. Green Light Fund, we are a national network of cities across America that share ideas, resources, experience across cities. And so I'm representing our work here in Detroit.
Got it. Understood. And what does Green Light Fund do?
So Green Light Fund is a model here, the work I'm doing for the people of Detroit, really to control our own destiny. And what it does is we bring together people from neighborhoods, businesses, organizations, nonprofits, et cetera, to elevate critical priorities and opportunities to combat poverty in our hometown. And so what then Green Light does is we, by identifying needs collectively, from our residents and stakeholders, we then invest in and support, you know, high impact programs that might not have had been here otherwise, that boost existing work on the ground, but where there's still a need. And then we support this work to be here over the long term. So really, it's a participatory process where we're shifting power back to residents in order to build improved economic mobility through programs that have, you know, weight and opportunity to really grow in the city.
Yeah, that's very cool and very exciting. I've often said to my friends that if you solve poverty problems, probably 90% of the social ills in our world will disappear.
That's right.
Can we talk about that for a second? What is it about solving poverty that actually solves so many other problems at the same time?
Of course. Well, you know, the inequality in our communities is at the root, as you mentioned, to so many of the challenges that we're facing. And one of the biggest challenges, especially the way that we tackle it, is that the people that have been affected by a lot of this, you know, disinvestment or structural disadvantages that aren't ours, aren't often a part of the process of both identifying the things they need and vetting the solutions. And so that's with Green Light Fund. What we're doing is we're partnering with and centering our local communities in the entire process of what is it that we need to do and what are the types of things that we want to invest in. When I say invest in, actually, you know, to be clear, we do social investment. So that means to us right now, they're almost entirely philanthropic, you know, gifts. We're giving grants, but what we do is we partner with organizations to understand what exactly it is that they're going to tackle and then measure over time. So for us, for example, we have, you know, formal councils with cross-sector stakeholders across different, whether it's industry, neighborhoods, nonprofits, businesses, et cetera, and residents who themselves have either been experiencing poverty or homelessness, for example. And it's really important that all those voices are part of our process. Again, especially those residents who've been feeling this, the challenges. And by doing that, by having kind of a trust-based, a participatory process throughout what we're doing, we're building trust within the community, right? We're building stickiness around what's important and what sort of solutions we're obtaining and investing into. And so really that we have this goal to move what are traditionally top-down decision processes to local ground-level discussions. And so rather than being a silo of solutions, for example, we really believe that, you know, having more voice uncovers even more effective solutions because they're more aligned to people's true needs.
Can you give us an example of what that looks like? Is there something specific that sticks out in your mind that can paint a more real life picture for our listeners?
Yeah, of course. One of the first things we did, so we've been in Detroit now for about 4 or 5 years. I was the founding director here as part of our network. And when the first year, when we got folks together, we were talking about some of the challenges that we wanted to tackle. One of the big ones was access to jobs and the barriers to workforce development that unfortunately so many residents have. And we have several thousand folks, unfortunately, part of the that are incarcerated here in Detroit that are released from prison annually, but don't necessarily have the supports to get back on their feet. So one of the organizations that we found that uniquely helped us move things forward is called the Center for Employment Opportunities. They're based out of New York City. They're in multiple cities, but not in Detroit or Michigan. And so we work with them after talking to residents, especially those who's faced with incarceration, who've returned to their communities. And they said very clearly, we need jobs. We need jobs quicker, you know, immediately coming out of prison or jail. And so CEO does that. They provide this immediate comprehensive employment. And they're a multi-step model where they're able to work with folks to get them immediate jobs. And then while they're working on transitional work, giving them support to find the full-time work that they're interested in. So it's a combination of work, of job supports, of mentorship, and really just this multi-step, long-term, staying with folks for a year to ensure that they find a place where they can land and stay employed over time. And we know when we provide folks with good jobs, they're much less likely to be involved with the incarceration system later.
Right.
So that's CEO for short as an example. We've been now working with them for a couple of years here in Detroit. They've been amazing. Again, what they're doing is complementing the work that many other great providers are already doing here in the city. But the need has been so great and their specific area is very unique that it's really helped us start move that needle to barriers in the workforce.
Very cool stuff. So one of the bullet points that Carmen sent to me, I'm saying the name Carmen as if our listeners are going to know who she is, but she says, you know, you're elevating critical priorities for residents facing barriers to social and economic mobility. Do you find that this is racially disproportionate work?
Well, yeah, actually, I'm glad you actually asked that question. You know, we're here in Detroit and we're a majority Black city. You know, and so it's really important to us, the coalitions that I spoke to you about, the folks that are influencing our process do represent the city. So, you know, our stakeholders are majority Black. When we look at the needs, the organizations, the people that we're going to bring in to run the organizations, we want to be sure that they are people from the neighborhoods where these programs will be. So we do look at all those elements. Race is a critical part, not only race, but a lot of other demographics of who people are that are both participating in our process as well as being a part of the solution. But there's no question in terms of the disparities that some of our residents are facing are through, you know, a lot of the racial inequities that have been here for a long time. And that's part of what we're trying to strip away, that we're trying to chip away at and then make big change. And again, to do that, we have to have people that represent and are from the communities we're serving. And so that is always top of mind.
Because diversity being the hot button issue that it is for all nonprofits these days, we've been having a lot of conversations about what it means to diversify boards all the way down to stakeholder representation groups for the people you serve. And I know that can be a hard game sometimes. You know, being appropriately diverse amongst leadership in particular is a hard thing for nonprofits to accomplish.
When we set up our work with Greenline Fund here in Detroit, from the get-go, we needed to recognize and acknowledge the role of race in nonprofits and in our programming. And so we've done that and we've been very clear about that. Again, at every stage of our process, who is at the table and representation is extremely important. So we start from that lens, where the input comes into, where the vetting comes from, who's at the table. And then when we're looking at organizations that we want to support, we also ask those questions. We also look at those things. And it's an iterative process, right? That where we can have an open dialogue with the organizations about why or why not, you know, they have certain people in certain places that allow them to do the work that they're doing. So it's no question that that's a critical part of the process. And frankly, like, When you think about the type of work we're doing, one of the reasons that a lot of social impact organizations or work doesn't grow or doesn't scale rapidly, that's one of the things that Greenlight Fund is trying to tackle. One of the reasons that doesn't happen as much is because, you know, top-down solutions, especially when they're for communities or to have a social impact again, it doesn't work to replicate that in a top-down way. You know, in order for things to work best when they're affecting people and communities, they need to come from bottom up, right? That gives you the foundation, the trust, the ability to do the work. And so you have to start there. You have to include and center really the people that might be affected by the work. And so that's why is all of these, you know, all these factors come into play, and race is one of the biggest ones.
I'm also reading another point here. A key example of what you guys do is the Resident Advisory Council, which pays local residents with lived experiences with poverty to advise on investments. And I'm very curious about that. When you say to advise on investments, you mean community investments and not just which stocks to buy.
Exactly. We're asking residents to give us their time, their expertise about where we should spend our time, our energy, and again, our social investments, which means we're looking for a return that comes back to the community, not a financial return.
Right.
And, you know, unlike someone like me or you or folks who get called to serve on committees, and frankly, it's part of our job to be, you know, dispensing, whether it's advice or, you know, connecting with folks in our professional circles, you know, these folks, we're taking them away from their families, their responsibilities, et cetera, to contribute to our process. So we believe it's responsible to pay folks because we're asking for their time the same way I get paid to show up in my job, that they get compensated for giving feedback on their expertise, which is how it is living in their community, what the challenges that they're facing, and what it is that they want to solve.
It's complete enfranchisement. It's not just, hey, show up and let me give you a donut. It's, hey, show up and let me tell you that you're a valued part of this process.
Exactly. We want, again, to treat all the people part of our process on equal terms. But the reality is all of us are coming, you know, from different places. And so that's important to us, you know, to ensure that those voices are there, they're properly compensated for their time, and that, you know, they stick with us for a while in order to, you know, multiple meetings over time in order to build and understand what kind of some true issues are.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant strategy. Last thing I wanted to ask you is what can you tell us about what it means to be the founding executive director of Greenlight? I mean, like I said, you guys have a much larger footprint than just Detroit. Did Greenlight approach you? Did you approach them? Did you set the whole thing up and invent it and then spread it out? Tell us how that went.
Sure, of course. So, you know, Greenlight Fund has been around for a while, since the mid 2000s, started in Boston. Detroit was the fifth city in a now 10 city growing network. And so really the way that we've added cities to our networks is that we approach cities and communities, and the same process I've been telling you, we go and find new cities and just talk to both residents and leaders within the community, saying, is this a type of model that you want in your city, right? What we're essentially trying to do is create a different channel for communities to be able to, again, build prosperity, but build prosperity with access to some of the leading practices, leading organizations across the country. And so this network effect is really what makes, you know, that next level of involvement really strong, because I'm able now to pick up the phone, talk to a colleague in Philadelphia or Cincinnati, Charlotte, you know, the Twin Cities, and connect our networks of people that are on the ground working on very similar topics. So with Greenlight Fund, that's been a real bonus to our work. And so in Detroit, for example, when we started, what actually happens first in every city is that we bring a coalition of funders and residents and leaders to say, yes, there is a critical mass. There's enough of us that want a program like this. We then build a fund raise funds, again, from very institutions to individuals. And then once we get enough that we can raise a fund to sustain our practice, we hire a director. In that case, it's me, and that in Detroit, and then we get moving.
It's very cool, and it's a cool thing to see unfold. And it's just amazing work that you guys are doing. And I'm just, again, honored to have you as my guest on today. Is there any parting words of wisdom or advice that you would have for our listening audience, mostly of who are nonprofit leaders and consultants and people who actually do management work with nonprofits? What would you tell them about the work that they do?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. And again, appreciate being on here too. I think one of the things that we've seen, which isn't surprising, but that we need to all in the industry do more, in the sector do more to achieve, is that, you know, there's not a trade-off between being more inclusive and flattening decision structures and impact. I think people have a false impression that the more people they bring in, or the more, you know, they decentralize their process, the more, in other words, control they give up, the less likely they are to have the impact they're looking for. And I guess what I was saying is, our lesson is that's exactly opposite. In fact, you know, the organizations like CEO that I mentioned and the others that we brought in, they are doing more work and deeper work in a shorter amount of time than we've seen before. And that's exactly because we've included more people as part of the process. So I think that would be just one of many things that I would say, is that actually opening the doors, being more inclusive, really does benefit your mission and your results even more so than if you weren't. So
fascinating stuff, and good words of advice in general. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you to learn more about Greenlight, and specifically Greenlight Detroit, Greenlight Fund Detroit, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
Yeah, appreciate that question. My information, our contact information, is all on our website. It's greenlightfund.org. You can find me under Detroit, or really any cities out of our, you know, 10 plus city network now. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in learning about our organizations or seeing the people involved, please check that out, and feel free to reach out. Here in Detroit, we are now moving towards building our second fund, so we're open to new partners.
Awesome. If I can shamelessly say that I'll help you do stuff in Atlanta, then just give me a call.
Excellent. Excellent. Atlanta is definitely one of our great and younger sites. They actually are just had announced their first a big investment, and we'll make that connection.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, no, I'll look forward to that. Seriously. So Rishi, thanks for taking the time this morning to do this recording with me. And hopefully we can revisit some point in the future. This has been excellent. Thank you.
That'd be great. I appreciate it. Thanks again.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.